75.
Rags to dishes.
Let's go.
Stories are delicious.
Yeah, I was like, I don't drink civet shit either.
That was a, like, that was a good
I'll do a quick bump of coffee. You got bumps of coffee up in here? Yeah, I heard about that. Dude. I'm like, hey, can't be anything worse than anything I tried in the 90s.
Right.
Who's hungry, ladies and gentlemen? Episode 75, quarter century mark of the Rags to Dishes podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Quarter century, Dan. Quarter century.
So
having on your first 75 year old tonight.
I'm loving how 75 is now a quarter of a century.
Oh shit! I'm a fucking dumbass. 3/4 of a century.
What a way to start this off.
Seniors rejoice, you're only a quarter century of a year old.
All of your AARP cards have now been discontinued.
Yep.
All right, well,
finally old enough to rent a car.
I meant a quarter of a century to go, my bad.
Yeah, there you go. That makes so much sense.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we got what I'm guessing is going to be a huge episode, because we've been waiting to get our buddy Jay Phillips here on the podcast for a while. Jay, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, anytime. Glad to finally be able to make it out.
Yeah. I think since, I don't know how many episodes Jimmy's been on, but since like the first time we got Jimmy in here, I was like, because I was so blown away with Jimmy's stories that I was just like, when we get Jay in here, it's going to get fucking absurd. like Jimmy, did we recorded those first three episodes of Jimmy all within one conversation, right?
Yeah, one or two. Because
we were just like, yeah, we got to take a break. Let's end this ep and we'll just start another. Because the first episode of Jimmy, like, we didn't even get to Crazy Burger.
It was just too much sauce, dude. There was just too much.
Yeah,
and that's sort of how I feel tonight, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, like,
Like I said, I was catching up on a couple episodes I had missed already, and they were like a bunch of gaps I can fill in, and I'm like, oh, after I fill those gaps in, that's two episodes before you even get to, like, so tell me about you.
Yeah, dude. So let's.
I wanted to start with you.
Hi.
You to give like a little, I don't know, a little introduction to the people that might not know you. This is Jay. We've talked about Jay on this podcast.
Jay. You probably know me. I have a lot of nicknames. Who knows which one you know me by? Yeah. But like, yeah.
So what would you say your title was most of the time when we worked at Crazy Burger together?
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, pretty much assistant to the Schmitz.
Or just prep manager.
Yeah, I was thinking like prep manager.
Kind of that
day manager.
The handyman, unless it was like a project that was just like way too big to deal
with. Jack of all trades.
Yeah, there were certain things I'm like, you're not paying me X to do that. You can pay somebody else the right rate because that's too hard.
Yeah, or like that time that the ceiling collapsed and it was like, okay, you were the one fixing it, but you're like, I need like two more people here to help me do this. Like, Chris, you're going to have to come back here.
Yeah.
We have a ceiling collapsing.
That was rough, man. I mean, like, was that your first job in the industry?
No.
Service industry?
No.
No, right? Yeah.
No. Okay. I'd worked at I had actually started at a barber shop, like sweeping up for free haircuts when I was 14. I'd worked red shirts in Boston.
Yeah, let's go back there. You're from Boston, right?
Oh yeah.
Like what part of Boston?
Rosendale mostly, JP mostly after that.
Okay. And like, so your first
job, old JP, not the JP you know today.
I'm not very familiar with JP.
You don't know JP.
No, it's Jamaica Plain. I know what it is. Yeah.
When I lived in JP, it was like rough JP. It was like, yeah. It was 80s.
Like, it was not like gentrified hipster JP.
No. I mean, it had a bunch of different ethnicities in it. None of them seemed to like me.
They all had one thing in common.
No, but it was rough. It was like one of the more impoverished communities at that time and everything. Like, yeah. But and when I came home from college and I saw what houses in JP was going for, I was like, are you serious? Like, I should have like bought three of those before I left.
Yeah.
Right. I feel that about honestly everywhere now.
Yeah.
But
yeah, now it's everywhere. But this is back in like 2003, I was saying that.
So you're 14, you get your first job just sweeping up hair for free.
Oh, no, I'm under 14.
Okay.
When I was 14, I started doing red shirts in Boston because then you can get legally paid by the city.
What does that mean? Red shirts?
Yeah. Like you either cleaned up the parks or you were like a camp counselor for kids. It was a bunch
like
of
you worked
jobs.
You worked for the city. Like.
Yeah, it was jobs set up for the youth that live in Boston for the summer. You know, and they gave you all red shirts that you wore to show that you were working at the time. Okay. So, and that's why everyone just called it red shirts. I'm sure the program has a name. Comment now the name and win some sort of prize. Like, share, and subscribe.
Yeah, exactly, bro. Damn, you're a natural. So, where did you go? Like, what was your first, like, restaurant or bar job?
I would say D'Angelo's in Dedham Center. It became D'Angelo's Pizza Hut for a while.
Oh, the combination?
So I did it before it was the combo, while it was the combo, and then, like, I worked there, like, as a part-time job after construction in the summers when I was in college.
I missed the combo in Wakefield, dude.
You were like 18?
I was 18 when I graduated. So that was like probably 17, 18, 19, 20.
Wait a minute. You graduated college when you were 18?
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Yeah. College or high school?
No, high school.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. High school. My bad. Okay. I'm bugging. I thought you said you graduated college.
I was a quarter of a century old at that point.
I got my numbers all fucked up.
Yeah. Quick maths. So were you working the grill or what?
Times, yeah.
Nice. How was D'Angelo's back then?
It was dope.
This was what, like 1957?
Yes.
Like,
yes. It was 1932.
Yes, 30 years ago.
The summers were hot and the winters were still cold.
Yeah. So,
gas was 89 cents a gallon.
Where did you go from there? Did you have, what other service industry jobs have you had that led you up to Crazy Burger?
Okay. So after that, I also worked at the Maplewood Diner, which little fun fact, if any of you seen the Gilmore Girls and the pilot for the Gilmore Girls, that's the diner that it was shot in.
Wow. Let's go.
Tell me you're in the first episode of Gilmore
Girls. I'm not in the first episode of Gilmore Girls. Like when I started working there, like every regular at the place was like, so do you watch the Gilmore Girls? So have you seen the Gilmore Girls? And I'm like, no. Like it was shot here. The writer is from this area. It is based upon this diner.
Wow. Shout out. Gilmore Girls slaps, dude.
Gilmore Girls does slap. Emily Bishop's like my favorite.
I feel like Gilmore Girls is just what's that other show? Is it called Weeds? Where the mom grows?
Yeah.
It's just like that show without the weeds.
It's just because of the fucking you just see a brunette actress that looks the same.
I could be wrong, but
I've never seen Weeds, but I've seen a shit ton of Gilmore Girls, and it's banging.
Yeah, Gilmore Girls is dope. So after you were on Gilmore Girls, where did you go from there?
Okay, after the Gilmore Girls, I worked at a framing place for like picture framing.
Yeah,
because when I say that and I've done construction, everyone's like, oh, so how many houses did you frame up?
And you're like,
no. I framed a few museums, motherfucker.
Matisse, bitch.
But yeah, we used to get to do the work for the Mount Clair Art Museum. So that was like dope and everything. That's like sick. That.
What do you mean? You like framed their art
like that? Like,
yeah.
So we do that for regular people. And then like, if you were a high end person, we'd do something a little bit more expensive for you.
All right.
And then if you were the museum, you came in and you had an account with our place and we did the museum framing for the Mount Clair Art Museum for certain pieces.
Okay. So you're from Boston. You were framing art. What do you know about Isabel Stewart, bro?
I don't know who did it. I think I was going to Boston Latin School at the time, so it happened like two blocks away from where I was going to school. I think I was like 14. Like,
okay, so it wasn't you. You were too young.
Yeah.
That's what no, but
I had to bring.
I went
it up.
On the tour. I had done the Isabella.
You were on my suspect list of yeah. who might have done, the Isabella Stewart.
The Gardner tour a couple of times before the heist, and then after the heist, I could tell you it was definitely a different level of security.
Okay, that is just dude, in time.
Dude, the Isabella Stewart Museum is fire.
Yeah.
Never been?
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite museums.
It's Boston's
I've ever been
version
to.
Of Becky Guggenheim's house.
Ooh, yeah,
which is the much. Guggenheim Museum.
Well,
in New
love
York.
The Googs.
Yeah, you got to love the
That's
Googs.
A good comparison. I like the Guggenheim more than I like MoMA, too.
Absolutely.
New York's a MoMA's whole different level big. Of wealth than Boston.
Googs is the yeah, best true. Because it's like MoMA's too big.
Also, like, Googs is like, I mean, I could be wrong. It's been probably like 5 years since I've been there, but it's like $30 to get in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's and not you, like some, it's not, you, I don't know. I forget what
it's not like
is,
when they wanted you to come in anymore. Now it's like they know it's the tourist trap and they know if you go and say you went to X, Y, and Z and not to the Guggenheim, it's like, oh, so you didn't actually pay money to see the art.
Googs is dope because you can bang it out in like an hour if you want to and know you didn't miss anything. Like, whenever you go to MoMA or like the Whitney, you're like, it's like, oh, wait, is that the room we were just in, or is that the room that we're trying to go to? Like, all like you
I'm lost.
Yeah, like, it's, like, so hard to figure out if you've, like, seen everything, whereas, like, Guggenheim is just that one spiral. So, anyway, that's been our piece on the Guggenheim.
I actually have to change topics here for a second.
Thank God.
People have reached out to me from Providence that, you know, there's this graffiti artist that goes around Providence that a lot of people, especially on the West End, know as Ass Car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. And he paints a car that has a butt. Okay. And Ass Car is the tag. During COVID, it became a big thing. Everyone was like,
"Is it any relation to dick tits?"
Yeah, right.
Because I love those dicks.
That's a good one
tits.
Too.
Sound like they'd be
dick
good bedfellows.
Best.
But Ass Car, we're looking. Anyone with information about who Ass Car might be, please reach out.
Does Dick Tits drive an Ass Car?
I think so. Absolutely.
How does it not?
Same family, at least.
The Banksy of the West Side of Providence. Wow. Ass
no,
car.
No. Literally, Ass Car is the Banksy of it, the art. Is,
I mean, that's what I just said. I mean, did I stutter? That's right.
Sorry, Dan. Jeez. Don't know what's up your ass tonight.
The Banksy of West Side of Providence. That's what's up my ass.
Dude. We got to find out who Ass Car is.
I know, dude. Exit through the gift shop.
Anyway, Jay, after you got done, like, framing shit, I mean, like, I don't even... How, like... We got a lot of time to gap between when you were in college to when you started at the establishment.
Like, wait, when were you DJing?
I don't even know how fucking old
you are. I was DJing in, like, junior year, I think I started. I got my first like real setup,
mm-hmm.
and could actually start doing something that wasn't like mixtapes with like four different tape players all like wired into
you
one.
You weren't
thing.
Just like Radio Raheem anymore.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, back then it wasn't like it is now. Like, you literally had like a tape deck and another tape deck and another tape deck into like a receiver that would actually play it to the speakers because mm-hmm. speakers weren't built into shit. And then like a CD player. So like, and then if you wanted to do a song after another, you'd have that all fed into the thing you were recording off of.
So were you a radio DJ? Were you like hosted like a radio show?
I didn't host one, but I was engineering at Seton Hall when I went to college there.
Sick.
So they have a sick radio station that's mostly like heavy metal-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So, and hard rock-ish. So that was kind of cool because like I ended up meeting a bunch of people that like later on end up being like a big deal, like Propane, Seven Dust.
That's sick.
It's the band with Fred Durst, Limp Bizkit.
Wait, you've met Fred
What's
Durst?
What's the band with Fred yeah. Durst?
What was that like?
It was fun.
Like, he was chill?
Yeah, I mean, like,
he was like, yeah.
But it's weird when
just
like
one of those days.
You're a big like hip-hop DJ and you're into hip-hop and like cutting up beats and X, Y, and Z, and you're like interning and engineering at like a heavy metal show so that you can like sort of get your stuff so that you could maybe have like the 1 a.m. hip-hop show that like no one in the world would listen to, yeah. But you could do that.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was cool, but to me that was like, oh, these are like fringe heavy metal bands. Like, I guess so. Like, I don't know. I don't listen to heavy metal. Like, listen to hard rock.
You mispronounced the word cringe for a second. You sounded like you said fringe, but you definitely meant to say cringe.
I mean, I feel like Limp Bizkit kind of slaps now.
Yeah. Oh, you, but that's the thing. When
new metal's having like a new awakening Limp Bizkit of people being
before,
like...
Before like their first song comes out, it's different too. Because these people like haven't made it. They're out there like loving their stuff and trying to get you to listen to like their grinding. Stuff. And then like, what was the first cover they did that hit it big?
Faith? Yeah, Faith.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
and
so
that,
good.
And like, I remember hearing that like 1,000 times. I think it's like the fall of 96 or like the spring of 97, like when I was there. Like, and that comes out and, you know, it's just being played constantly and they have them in because it's a big deal that they have a song that's hitting and it's like edgy like that.
Were they like one of the first people to do that thing that's like played out now where it's like, oh, we're doing a cover of a song, but it's like in a radically different genre?
No, no, they were, come on, dude. Like, no, they were not the first.
Yeah, well, like, who, like, what were like
Johnny Cash did like a billion of those in the 90s.
Yeah, but that was like, that was after Limp Bizkit came out.
No, no way.
That was like late 90s when he had that cover.
No, but they were one of the big bands that started. I feel like some of those covers were earlier. The trend of doing old covers and they would be popular.
Well, the Rage
album. For a long time, you would do that and people would be like, that's a cop-out song. I don't care.
It's like, it was just interesting that it was like a George Michael song. And then they're going like, you know, like all screamo.
But like around the same time, I think Alien Ant Farm covered like a Michael Smooth Criminal.
I think that was after. And Rage's album Renegades is before
that. But it's like all
that.
Those things are getting recorded around the same time. So you don't know which one's actually recorded.
Yeah, that's
first,
what I'm saying. It was like they were in on the ground floor of that. And it seems like that's played out now. It's like, oh, isn't this novelty that we're hearing like a real folksy country cover of like a rap song or something, you know? It's like,
oh, my neighbors listen to like all country covers of like 70s rock and stuff. Oh, and it was just like, I had a run inside the house like a couple of months ago. I'm like, you're ruining fucking Elton John.
That's brutal.
Fucking Elton John's a baller. And like, I don't know what that person's doing to it, but it's fucking ruining it.
They're twanging it up.
Oh yeah.
So you were DJing. So were you like doing like party DJing if you weren't doing radio DJing?
I was doing some like, I was doing like high school dances when I was in high school. Not much other than that, because it's high school in the 90s. You really can't do anything. It gets broken up so fast.
Yeah.
In college, I did a couple of frat parties. And when I came back, I would do like weddings and stuff like that.
Did you have like a DJ name?
DJ.
DJ like with J-A-Y.
D-J-A-Y. Yeah, that's pretty tight.
Let's go. Let's go. That's sweet.
But then at that time, I got into like a lot of like house and ambient music and EDM, and I switched to try to becoming like a production DJ and like making songs off like...
Change your name to JFX Twin.
Right? Just
That's sick.
All right, so...
No, I remember Aphex Twin getting big.
Yeah, of course you do.
I always get the Aphex Twin.
I remember Daft Punk's first hit.
And
being like around the world. But like, I remember that video coming out and it being like, oh, wow. Like, but that's like, you know, it's like being into Daft Punk before anyone knows what Daft Punk is, where now they're just like a household name.
Yeah.
But they were like one of the first bands like that to really have like a super big hit.
They were sick. Anyway, so you DJ for a while. Where is that in your timeline of like service industry jobs? Like, this is post barbershop, but like pre D'Angelo's.
DJing is probably like the best one because you deal with the least problematic people and you get paid probably the most.
Yeah, dude, you don't got to convince me that DJing is better than working at a fucking restaurant, bro. I'm with it, dude. Kidding me? You think Paulie D would be working on a line? No, sir, dude. You never catch him working the line. He's not going to get blown while working the line like he does while DJing.
Pauly D could expo maybe, but not the line.
Yeah, no right? way. He's too pretty.
Right. Is he
though?
So yeah, I'm at the framing place. At the framing place, I'm asked to come back home. So I move back up to
JP?
Oh, it's not JP now. It's like we got a place in Wareham. My father has a place in Providence. He's in the midst of like buying a bunch of places in Providence that like he needs somebody to help him work on and run and do property management. And he's trying to start like sober houses and everything like that. And, you know, so I come back. I start doing that. I go back to work in construction in the city because, you know.
Which city?
Boston, local 223, motherfucker.
Okay. 100%. Is that like the Is that the first Teamster shout out we've ever had on this podcast?
Definitely.
Oh, fucking support your union. Everything needs to unionize.
Let's go. You hear that?
Hey, you like the idea of a weekend? Because I know most of us are celebrating it on a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Wednesday morning because like we don't get the real weekend. But like, you know, unions made a weekend.
Straight up, dude. Never forget.
Used to just be you got Sunday morning off to go to church. Now get your fucking ass back to work.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I get that, but.
God, those were the days.
Now I like working the weekend. Is that weird?
Oh, yeah, because like there's just so many more people now.
I think it's convenient.
Like if you have the weekend off and you're trying to do something, good fucking luck. There's just so many fucking people.
Yeah I think it's like, dope when your weekend is during the week because. On your days off, you can get like weekday shit done.
Yeah, which you, like, get, you can like, never go get to the that bank done on
or,
the
like, go to the DMV or like, you know, like it's great like being able to do weekday shit on your days off.
Yeah. You can make a doctor's appointment. Not
yeah,
a problem.
You can have your doctor's appointment. Yeah, it's sick.
You don't have to have like three people approve it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tight.
So tell me more about why you're peeing. I'm like, you're only the assistant manager. Why do I got to tell you?
You're the doctor. You told me.
So I'm not even at the doctor's office yet. I'm at work trying to get a day off.
Oh, my God.
So. Schmitz used to be like, you can't call out. You will show up as sick as you fucking possibly are.
It's the worst, the opposite of what you're supposed to tell me.
I will determine how fucking sick you are at that point.
COVID
None of you
just
motherfuckers
changed that
are
so
actually
much.
Sick. You're all calling out hungover. Get here and let me smell your breath.
Dude, I feel like every job used to be like that, where they'd be like, you're sick? Bullshit. Get in here. And now every place after COVID is like, you think you're sick? No, stay the fuck away. Like, if you even sniffle, it's like, get the fuck out of here.
I just remember Chris being like, yeah, you need a doctor's note. And we'd be like, you really don't want me to come in, like, tonight? Like, because I know you're going to be shorthanded again. Sorry I called out yesterday.
Yeah.
The establishment, we were always shorthanded.
When did you start at the establishment?
09, Tim Wright had it wrong. I believe he started there Mother's Day of 08, and I started Mother's Day of 09.
Damn, setting the record straight.
So, 2009.
Or, like, Tim wrong.
That's...
Oh, see, like, because then, like, I don't know.
It took you a minute.
Yeah, it did, but Tim wrong.
Everyone was getting paid in a certain manner, so they don't have certain records where I... Always had some of my stuff come to me in the form of a check, so I have like tax returns from it.
Yeah, wait, so you're saying you got hired post the completely under the table era?
Oh, yeah.
Was that before Guy Fieri was there too?
Yes.
So you were there for Guy Fieri?
Yes. There's a picture somewhere Tim Wright in like one of the old reach-in like freezers, fridges that, you know, like the refrigerators with the glass doors.
Yeah.
And he's like in there like doing this fucking pose thing. And if you look in there, there's a reflection of me, I believe, smoking a joint.
In the episode?
No. In that picture, which is like circulated around, like it's this awesome picture of Tim in that door from day.
That's great.
But yeah, it didn't make the episode. That's like one of the back room things or like back like parking lot things. When we had the full parking lot, when we had the anti-establishment's parking lot.
Oh, and yeah. Before like the fence went up, before the Great Wall.
Yeah.
So like what? How'd you get over there?
I'm working construction for a bunch of years. I'm living with my girlfriend, Shelly, at the time, who later becomes my wife. Now my ex, and she has a friend. Her good friend, Allie, has a sister, Erin, who has a boyfriend, Chris.
Here we go.
So you got interested.
And so,
Schmitz.
Like, and that's, you know, like, eventually, like, we're going to parties, we meet each other, everything like that, and he calls up one day, and he's basically like, hey, so, like, we need, like, a dishwasher for two or three shifts. I can't tell you this, it's off the record, but, like, our old dishwasher cut up his mom.
Oh,
and that was
God.
Like literally like right around when that happened. But like, and he's like, yo, we can, you know, like we can pay you like this because I know you're on unemployment and you don't want to fuck that up and blah, 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 blah. So like, if you want to do a couple of shifts, let me know. And I was like, you know what? Whatever. Like,
were you in Rhode Island at that point?
Yeah. We lived in Bridgetown Road at the condos at the bottom of the bridge.
Yeah. Okay.
And we were regular customers.
Yeah.
It's one of Shelly's favorite places to eat. We used to go there like 2-3 times a week when you could just walk in and get a seat whenever you wanted.
Before it got crazy busy.
Yeah. I'm sure you can walk in and get a seat whenever you want now.
I mean, the last time I went, it was like, I was by myself, but it was like just the bar was open. Everything else was
that's
like,
good.
They were pretty busy. I was that's like, good. I bet. Okay.
What day was that though?
It was like
it was like a Monday.
I remember you being like, oh, it was like a Tuesday afternoon. Or some shit.
Yeah, something like that.
I remember because I was making a joke like, oh, I didn't even think they would be open Tuesdays.
They were doing good.
But like, yeah, knowing that place when you could go in there on a Thursday night and just like sit down and get dinner, like no worries, no troubles to like be in there with there being like a 2-3 hour line for
dude,
like
that fucking that waiting area. We haven't talked about it in like, a while. Waiting area.
You
space.
Are waiting 2 hours for like fried eggs, bro.
There's crazy. No waiting.
Like, you're not even going to get one of the signature dishes. You're waiting 2 hours for like eggs.
It's fucking oatmeal.
Oh, oatmeal.
You were eating.
Send it back.
Hours for Jimmy to kill you 2 eggs.
So you did some dish shifts and what? You just like fucked with it?
You replaced
like,
yeah, the murderer.
Like a job.
I just, you know, like I did a couple of dish shifts and it was like, oh, you want to try a prep? And like, yeah, I'll try a prep because then they got a couple of dishwashers because that would happen. Whoever, are you alive?
Do you are you a murderer?
Are you alive? We didn't even ask if you're a murderer until like I was there like 5-6 years.
Hey, Jen, no, have you ever killed anyone? Check.
No background check, no nothing. Just like, hey, you want to work? But can
Mike,
you work?
Mike was big into like the whole like giving people a second chance and like type shit.
And that's the thing. Like, so there was like no nothing like you know like
it was I, really like yeah, no it, you're right like
it was like
anyone
there,
could
like
there's
get no a job application for me because he has a big box with like all the old applications with like the funny questions on it and everything like that. There's none of that for me because Chris was just like, hey, you want to come in and work one or 2 days, and he figured it would just be that. But that like also at that time gas had ballooned. So, like, I was dropping, like, 200-300 to commute up to Boston to work at the time, so I wasn't too really keen on going back. Mm. So when that point came, I was basically like, well, if you do X, Y, and Z, I can sort of stay here because, like, I'm breaking even from what I was making there with some things versus this. And I was thinking short-sighted because you make so much more at the union job. It was just, like, the straight cash I was making.
Yeah, when the cash in hand is tempting.
Plus, I kind of liked it there.
Yeah.
I said, like, oh, it's nice not having to hide behind a stack of bricks to get high.
You just hide behind a shed.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of a crushed construction equipment.
And then you build it out.
Right? Of course.
No, but also construction was killing me. Like, everything in that industry, like, is death.
Yeah.
I'd seen a bunch of people get, like, seriously hurt. I'd seen a bunch
Let's get into it right now. Can you give some examples? Like,
well, like I, one oh, day somebody
so
was like,
yeah, we do. Okay.
So that's before, like when I worked in the 90s, like, and when I came back and started working in the early 2000s, there were a bunch of like different things that had like had transpired in that time period because I guess of so many accidents happening. Yeah. So like I would go up on like staging and I would wrap my leg around the staging. So like, if when I was doing something, I would fall off, my leg would snap, but the staging would catch me.
Yeah.
Because that's how I was taught, because I was taught by a bunch of like 60 and 70 year olds.
Better lose a leg than your life.
Did you know that?
And I came back and they were like, are you not tying off? And I'm like, tying off? What the fuck is tying off?
No, I'm not shooting up in the bathroom.
Yeah, I don't fucking, like, I get high. Like,
I'm not
and
high,
I'm super
but I'm
weird,
junkie.
But I'm not, yeah, I'm not a junkie.
Ignore the rubber hose dangling from my elbow.
But, like, that was, like, when I started, it was a bunch of old school people, and it was really before the era of all, like, the harnesses and the safety and the stuff like
that. The OSHA era.
Bro,
and like
I watched
I came
this
back,
thing.
I was doing so many things, and they're like, you're not. You need to come and put this on and hook up to this and do this and do this and hook every time you do this. And it was like, they used to just have me running across this stage with 2 tongs of bricks like all day. I need to make a gate area. Like, huh? Like if you fall, you're dead. Like, this is how we find out who's strong.
Bro, I watched this documentary about the Chrysler Building in New York City, which was like the first skyscraper in America. Like, it was like, I think it was the tallest building in the world when they made it, but
2 in 5 workers died making it.
40%.
Bro, like 2 in 5 of those motherfuckers made it.
Yeah.
Damn. So hold on. You haven't gotten into any specific injuries that you saw.
So like I said, like one time this guy was on like a 6-foot staging and it had the top and it was before like now you have to make like the second top and put the bars around it. Well, you could just get on the top of that.
When you say staging, you're talking about just like scaffolding, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the guy comes by with the bobcat and clips him and he goes down, and when he goes down, his hard hat falls off and his head smashes against the fucking floor and he's got to get rushed to the hospital.
Oh boy, honey. Ugh, that's not fun.
No.
Jeez.
60 people died making the Twin Towers.
The Twin Towers?
Yeah, that's how many deaths there were building that the Twin Towers.
Separate 60. From the Chrysler Building?
60. I'm sure it's hundreds.
Yeah, but that's like Chrysler Building. That's like 50, 60 years.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But still, that's a lot.
Yep. And then thousands more later, allegedly.
Dude, people are still dying.
From 9/11?
Yeah, now.
You know, I was going to make a 9/11 joke, but just like Rick and Morty in the episode, I'm happy I didn't. Like, I don't need to go there.
Did Rick and Morty get canceled?
We can totally do a Pearl Harbor.
No, definitely not.
I think one of the guys got canceled from Rick and Morty recently.
Who?
They'll never stop canceling.
Dan Harmon has been trying to get canceled for so long. And still hasn't taken.
Man, I didn't read into
it. He used to get canceled. He can't get canceled now. He got canceled too much.
The Channel 5 kid got canceled, and then I saw some tweet that was like, damn, like Andrew from Channel 5 and Rick and Morty canceled in the same week. I was like, what? Rick and Morty? I don't know what the fuck.
I'm sure Rick and Morty makes so much money. It's so popular. Yeah. Like they I'm sure the contract's already signed for like 10 seasons or some shit.
So when you first started working at the establishment,
was the best time ever.
How, like,
it was the best of times and it was the fucking best of times.
Like, how early into
like,
working
it was like
there?
1969, like literally when I started there.
It was the summer of love.
It was,
wait, is 1969 the summer of
racial
love?
Tensions real high.
No, not in Narragansett.
Yeah, of course.
There's only one race. Only twice.
Yeah. Like, how early into working there were you like, wow, like this, there's really like no rules here?
I mean, fairly early.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then like, I mean, when I got hired there, you were pretty much like,
I mean, we used to have a party tent in the back.
A party tent?
A party tent. So like where the shed is and like, you know,
which shed, like the back shed,
the fry shed, the old fry shed that's next to the pot smoking area.
Yeah.
That used to just be a big party tent.
Like an easy up or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but like a 12-foot party tent
for getting high
with like, yeah, like seat. No, for everything, for drinking, for getting high, for hanging out, for, you know, like, yeah,
the big three.
Like I've heard in a couple of episodes, everyone, how they talk about the patio. Well, before that there was the party tent, and then, you know, you use that during the day. Like you'd get out Easter early and you'd go by at like 1 a.m. and people would still be in the party tent.
Dude, those were the nights that got fucked. Man.
Some of those nights were
like,
so
I remember
absurd.
This one kid, Keith, who like was like, oh, I got to get out of here. Like, oh, my ankle. And like, oh, I can't work and blah, blah, blah. So like we cut him early, like even though we didn't want to and we were understaffed. And then he's like out in the party tent for like 4 hours.
Dude,
like,
that kind of shit pisses everybody off.
No, you're fired.
Like,
I thought you're too hurt to work, but you're not too hurt to get wasted here. Like, fuck you, you're fired.
Dude, it's like, that kind of shit pisses everybody off, but it just pisses me off when people are that dumb or ignorant where it's just like, you realize how trife you're being right now when you do shit like that.
Like you call out and then come there to get weed.
Yeah.
Dude, that dude, night, I had a guy. You said people call out and come there to get like food.
We had a guy at the dispensary.
You didn't call out and then come here with your friends. Like, are you fucking serious?
Bro, we had a guy working
get
at the
dispensary. In the fucking
and then,
kitchen.
And no, and then not get fired. Just like, I'll see you at your shift tomorrow. Bye.
It's not cool, dude. People.
Honestly, though, but you could get away
sure
with anything
Evan,
there.
I'm pretty sure Evan pulled that. Shit.
Well, but like, dude, there were so many times there where like shit was so short that it was like, yeah, well, you're not gonna fire me. You need, like, you know,
you're
not to be a dick, but you need me. You know?
Yeah, but it's like, still trash to
what
do
are you gonna
that.
Do? Like, you know,
I, D-Cott, you've definitely done that.
No, I've never been like, I can't work, but I can party and then hung out all night.
Okay, like, yeah, I mean, I guess not that, but I'm saying like...
At the dispensary, we had a kid that was out with COVID come in to get weed from the dispensary. We were like, what are you doing, dude? You're supposed to be at home isolating. Like, what the fuck? People are a trife.
But stupid. You were just, oh, dude, it was such a fucking wasteland. But when I started there, I mean, you had already been there. But you were kind of like the dude that I couldn't figure out how in charge he actually was. But like you were in charge of everyone like on the lower levels for sure.
Jay set the culture.
Like when the dispit is getting its fucking ass beat, Jay was the one that was like, okay, fuck it. I guess I have to leave the prep kitchen now to go bail these people out.
And everybody had to know about it. Of course. You got it there. Throw it. This or is
like, Jay was the one that in the morning was like, okay, like whoever expoed last night has to stop doing the whippets. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like, or you're going through the trash being like the digital washer throughout the fucking dishes.
You were the designated dumpster diver, dude. The triple D, dude.
No, I just see everything.
Yeah I they know. Couldn't.
You were like, people think they can slide this shit past
a certain way, and it's like, you know, like some call it high functioning anxiety. I call it Nana's way.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I just noticed that I've always been good at finding stuff. And like at there, it was just like, all right, like I'm fine.
Because you're good at hiding stuff, like, and you know where you would hide
it. Exactly. Oh,
not all of it was.
I know exactly where I'd hide it, and you did a bad job picking spots like, because this is a garbage spot. Hide it better.
You're like, if I was sneaking whippets, I would put it in here. If I was throwing away,
if I was gonna throw out a bunch of silverware and spatulas, this is how I'd fucking do it.
Yep.
So like here, the next time you do it, don't just throw it in a clear fucking bag on top of everything fucking else. Actually put it at the bottom of the fucking dumpster if you don't want somebody to find it.
Jay, you should,
because that's where the bodies are.
You should market a business to kitchens of just like CSI for your kitchens. Like, you having problems in your kitchen? Bring me in. I'll figure out where your silverware is going. You know, I'll figure out why your beef burgers are like missing two every week or something like
that. It's like a scumbag investigation unit. It's like people would always think that they could like do scummy shit, and Jay would be like, "Who are you trying to slip it past here? I'm ultimate scumbag. I know all the scumbag tricks.
I used to run a sober house in Providence. You think fucking people are crazy? People at the establishment are like pulling some shit I haven't seen.
You think I don't know how to sneak a pint in somewhere?
Yeah, this is rookie level shit.
Fucking Bushley.
So I got like a pretty, I think what will be a funny question.
I've been woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning to buy a fucking pair of Nikes.
In what context? Like hitting you in the face or like,
or like a representative on the ground? Nike.
Damn, are those like Doc Martin X Nike collaborations?
You're in the sober house. You think somebody's like either about to go off the wagon or like, you know, like they have a serious problem. You go there, hey, are you size 11? Oh no. God. You want these for $20? Like, I'm not a size 11. $20 though, you could resell them. You could just sell them to not me.
You could just wear them and stop talking to me.
So my question to you is, who's the worst dishwasher you remember?
Oh,
because there were some, you know, just horrible ones.
I don't even know his name. It's not even Hoisington.
I don't know who that is.
The fuck is Hoisington?
There was Hoisington and not Hoisington.
What the fuck was that?
So, like, we used to have the school intern program with Narragansett, which is like Nessie used to like know about us, and she worked there. And then, like, when she went to school there, she would like intern during her study hours at Crazy Burger and make juices and train for like school credit. So, like, I think the year after Janessa, we had Hoisington and not Hoisington. And Hoisington...
What does that mean?
You're about to fucking find out. Yeah. Hoisington is this, like, redhead kid who's, like, you know, like, he's a young, like, kind of awkward kid in high school who, like, wants to learn about stuff. But, like, he's, you know, he's kind of awkward and he, like, can't really do stuff. And, like, so we used to cut the fries in the kitchen. Like, where the juice station is that you know, the fry blade used to be hooked up to the post there, and you would cut the fries there. And, like, I saw this kid try to cut a sweet potato, and, like, he went to cut it, and he got, like, bounced up in the air.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, bounced up in the air. And it's like, so whoa, funny. What the fuck is that? Like...
That's so funny.
I've never seen that. Like, what's up? What's up with your muscles? Like, are they there? Are you okay?
The kid just lost an arm wrestling match to a yam.
Damn. Oh, the yam kicked his fucking ass.
Like, yeah, well, to be fair, the biggest, like, there are yams that are just too big.
No, this wasn't one of those.
It was
ones.
A normal size yam.
It was a modest size sweet potato.
It was a modest yam.
Yeah, this was one I completely expected this kid to cut, and like it just like bounced him up in the air, and I was like, wow.
That's
like,
so funny.
I ain't never seen that.
So who is non-Hoisington? Not Hoisington.
Sean Murphy. Oh, I don't know if I could say full names. What's her name?
I don't know who that is.
Sean goes, he's always with Jay Lee.
Yeah.
Oh, like Jay Lee's like fiance, Sean?
Yeah.
Super white?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's not Hoisington. He has so much legend and connection to Crazy Road.
I didn't realize that he
started as the other kid that worked there because he heard from Janessa he could go there and kind of like fuck off and it was sort of fun and like party time.
Yep.
And, you know,
she was
like,
right saying that.
Yeah. Accurate.
Yeah, party time.
Yeah.
Okay, AKA so not Hoisington.
So they both like worked there or like did their study thing there senior year of high school.
That's pretty sad.
And he was not Hoisington because everyone's like, what's the guy's name again? You know, like, not Hoisington.
So which one of them was...
Because Hoisington was obvious. He was the awkward redhead that like, would get bounced in the air by a fucking yam.
Is Hoisington the one that's in contention for being one of the worst dishwashers
you've ever
seen?
Was that his name? His last name was Hoisington?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see why the other one became not
and
Hoisington.
His, you know,
because
and Sean Murphy is such just like, oh, is that your fucking name?
That's what
Sully?
I'm saying.
Is that your name, Sully? Like, I don't know, Oki? Like, I don't know. Your fucking name, Sean Murphy? Like, are you sure? Like, how Irish are you?
The other person has the most interesting name you've ever heard.
You don't have any sort of fucking nickname or anything like that? You're going to lead with that? Like, oh, like, how am I supposed to remember you right now? Like, you're not Hoisington.
Yeah, exactly. That's great.
Oh, man.
And he's the best.
Any others?
He definitely is. And that was the other thing. He's like, he's definitely not. It's like he's the anti-Hoisington.
It's like clean Charlie, Hoisington, dirty Charlie.
And then there's
shit.
Not Hoisington. And not Hoisington is so dope.
Yeah.
I saw Hoisington one day waiting for the bus. On Boston Neck Road.
Poor fucking Hoisington.
Fucking Hoisington.
Yo. Wearing a, what is it? It's like a mesh top.
And that was it.
Like a penny?
Yeah. Like, it was like, yeah.
That's
it was like the one you put over a football jersey to the, yeah. It was totally mesh. Yeah. It was amazing.
No, Jay.
That's basically hilarious.
I'm sorry, but you're not about to come in here and put somebody on blast for wearing weird outfits, bro. I'm sorry. But I'm not going to let you get away with that, bro. Okay.
Oh, I love wearing weird outfits.
Yeah, exactly, bro.
I saw him one day wearing this weird outfit, and I was like, that's so fucking 80s.
You were like, inspo, dude. Fit inspo, dude.
That was the beginning.
I'm adding this to my Pinterest.
2 years later, I was like, maybe I'll dye my hair this once.
Yeah, just this once.
And then as Chris said, he went to Comic-Con once as a Joker. I don't know. Never really came back.
Yeah, I remember when I didn't work there.
I remember when I didn't work there, too.
I wasn't working there anymore, and I went back. Like, I was in town, and I needed to, like, buy weed or something. I was like, I'm going to go to the establishment. And I had, like, just done mushrooms, like, the night before or something like that. Something like that. Or, like, I got fucked up. I walked, and I saw you, Jay, like, wearing green and having purple hair and being like, hey, you better have some weed.
Fucking Joker, bro.
Yeah. That shit was crazy. But, what about the best dishwasher? Who is the best dishwasher? Yeah.
Oh, we still haven't got to the worst dishwasher.
Yeah, who was it?
There's more to add?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. That's just a story about the precursor to the worst dishwasher.
So Hoisington's like top five worst?
I don't know if it was like through them or something, but we got this other kid from Narragansett High, and he's this pale white kid with black-rimmed glasses, and he was just so fucking bad. I think he worked there like 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
It was like, and that's like maybe six shifts total. And he would just like crash the dish pit instantly. And so like after the second shift, it was like, all right, you're just on putting shit away. And I think this is the first time we were ever like
two dishwashers type thing. Yeah.
We're not going to have somebody do both. And then when they crash, just call for some quick help. We're actually going to put like two dishwashers on because we want to give this kid this chance.
Yeah.
And he's just crashing on putting shit away.
That's so bad.
And it was just like so frustrating.
Like he's carrying one glass at a time out to the front of the house.
Two. He would carry two, but like how long does that take? Because like what does that hold? Like 36, 48 fucking glasses?
Yeah, you got to be bringing out like 16 at least.
That's so funny. Like,
yeah, he was doing everything wrong. He was taking so long. He was crashing, putting away side.
That's insane.
And like... we didn't even get rid of him. He was just like, I can't do this job anymore. The anxiety is killing me. And it was just like, I was just like blown away because I'm like, you just put the dishes away. Like, yeah. I don't get it. Like, I worked as a dishwasher. Like, I crushed it. Like, just putting the dishes away is giving you bad enough anxiety that you need another job. Like,
dude, it'll lead someone to chop their moms up, dude. Like,
I don't know what sort of like, you know, like I
heard
what
that guy
person,
was a decent dishwasher.
But it's almost like I don't know what that person is actually like good at, and I'm sure they found something they were good at. I hope, because if not, like Decott said, bad news.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, like it was just like, oh, like that was like so simple. Like at that point, I was like, all right, how much are robot arms for, like, restaurants, and where do I invest?
Yeah.
Because, like, that shit's coming. Because now, because, like, what used to be, like, a one-person job is now, like, you got two people on it, and the second person's like, I'm crashing on putting the dishes away.
Are you saying that we need, like, a Doc like, Ock
you're
in
not
the dish
even
bit?
Washing them.
I've already said that, like...
If you're a Doc Ock in the dish pit, yeah, you just get promoted.
Yeah, you need Doc Ock in the
like
dish.
No.
Eventually, that won't be a job, but what will all those people do?
If you have a Doc Ock ability, like I've talked about this, if I surgically got two more arms put on my body, you would be best used as a bartender because people would come to your bar because they'd be like, look, there's a fucking freak with four arms bartending. We're going there. You're not like, you know, you might go to a restaurant and be like, I want to see the freak dishwasher with four arms, but you're probably not going to see him because he's
it's not about
the
freak show. It's
yes,
about
it
this.
It would become about the
freak show.
You've seen the robot servers, right?
Robot servers, no.
No?
Yeah.
Where are they just like little robots?
You know the robots to bring your fucking food?
It's like they have the
robot.
You
punch in your order at a computer at your table and the robots bring you your food.
All right, how much do you tip?
Have you seen the robots at hotels?
According to you, the robot gets 30%.
I mean, I might have to revisit that one. If they don't have like a beating heart, I don't know if they deserve a 30%.
Wow. Damn.
Sorry, robots.
Yeah, robots take notice.
I still might tip 20 though.
Yeah, you know.
Just because robots have feelings too.
Because when they take over, they'll be like, "Hey, that guy tipped."
Because
right,
you
at
chose
least.
To die on that hill, so now you're gonna die on it.
And maybe I would tip them 30.
See, yeah.
Robot service.
Yeah, it's like at
they deliver
hotels,
your food and shit.
Like at hotels,
no, at restaurants too. There's
I know.
A bunch
I'm not saying it's not a restaurant.
Them.
I'm just comparing it to a lot of hotels now. If you get room service, like the door, you get knock on the door, and it's a fucking robot with like a tray of food. Like they, it's not people anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah,
someone's got to be controlling that robot,
like,
though. No,
one of the good things about the establishment is I went to the food show a couple of times, and then like I filled out the survey about the food show, and they were like, "We appreciate your feedback. If you keep giving us good feedback, we'll keep giving you free tickets."
Nice.
And I've gone to the food show every year for free because of it.
Wow. Sick.
Either way, we're taking five.
Yeah.
Maybe it's longer.
All right, let's just wrap this then.
Yeah, we're just through it.
Jay, thank you so much for coming on. You know, your stories are great. We'll get you back on. And
I don't even think we got into like 2 weeks of me being at the establishment.
Dude,
I have a feeling this will be like maybe like multi-layered shit.
Oh, yeah, dude. There's levels to this shit.
Anyway, I'm Max Messier Richter.
I'm Dan Connor.
Vorian Atreides from Minutemen Media.
Yeah, let's go.
And this is the Rags to Dishes podcast.
Oh, my gosh. This is what's behind the scenes. Cooking in the kitchen. Everybody, where we eat. All Rags to Dishes. Stories from the kitchen. Kitchen long from